I have a question this morning. And the question that I have for you this morning is, how is your walk? How is your walk? I want to talk a little bit about how is your walk this morning. Because, you know, when you walk down the block, people can identify you just by the way you walk. Have you ever seen somebody come down the block or walk into a restaurant or come to work or come into church or anywhere? You spot them by the way that they walk. Some people walk with a bop. Some people walk with their heads turned to the side. Some people swing their arms when they walk. But your walk, people can identify you by your walk. So now I ask you, in a Christian spiritual sense, can people identify you by your walk? You can say that you are a Christian. You can say that you have a relationship with the Lord. You can say, I'm the pastor. You can say, I'm the first lady. I'm a minister. I'm a deacon. I'm a missionary. I'm a. But can they identify you by your walk? Walking involves a lot of things in our lives. Have you ever walked away from a situation frustrated because you realized you just missed the opportunity? Have you ever walked away from a great sale and you thought about it later and said, I should have made that sale? Maybe you walked away from making a critical point to somebody. You were going to tell them something, but you walked away because you were so frustrated, annoyed, and aggravated, and you walked away. And then later on, you realize, I should have just said that one thing to that person. Maybe it was an opportunity to minister to somebody that you hadn't seen in a long while. And instead of giving them a quick word of encouragement, you walked away from them. Maybe it was an opportunity to contribute something to the life of somebody else. And you decided that you was not going to do that. And you walked away. Don't you just hate that? When you realize later on that you had an opportunity to make a difference, but you walked away. And sometimes when we walk away from something, we don't realize it right away, but we realize it when we're laying in bed. Sometimes it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it's sometimes you just don't even get to go to sleep because you realize that you missed an opportunity. How many times have you slapped your forehead and said, I should have, could have, would have. You blew that opportunity. And you say to yourself, what a fool I was to not take advantage of that. Why didn't I recognize that when I had the chance? Well, I want to try to help somebody today. Hallelujah. What an opportunity today that has come your way to change your walk. In the Bible, there's two ways I want to go. Isaiah 6:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And now I want to go to Ephesians, because that is the main point of this sermon today. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 15 and 16. They read, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." That is King James Version. Now I want to read the NIV version. It says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." When we leave our homes, we walk out into a world penetrated with darkness. But this garment, salvation that God has given us, has the power to refuse all of the deeds of darkness. I said the deeds of darkness. And then it has the power to reprove the deeds of darkness. And thirdly, it has the power to remove the deeds of darkness. So when you get this garment of salvation on you, Christ has given us the power to refuse the deeds of darkness, reprove the deeds of darkness, and remove the deeds of darkness. Amen? Light puts out darkness. So Ephesians 5 and 15 tells us we ought to be careful as we walk. So when you put on this garment, when you are living in what you have in Christ, it is a powerful weapon against the darkness in this that is residing in this world. So how are we supposed to walk? It is okay to tell somebody to walk. It is okay to read how to walk. But how are we supposed to walk? The Bible says, therefore, be careful. What does it mean to be careful how you walk? The word means to be looking carefully. Now, when you talk about being careful, you have to understand the original meaning of the word. The original meaning of the word comes right before the word careful. It means to watch out. So when you are walking, you are to watch out. Amen? That means that you are to be sensitive, you are to be aware, and be on the alert at all times. When you walk out in this dark world, remember to be on the alert. Watch out, be extra sensitive. Amen? So I can tell you right now, if you see, later on, when Paul talks in Ephesians, he talks about putting on the full armor of God. Amen? In chapter 6. But in chapter 5, you have to learn how to walk before you put on the armor. Amen? We live in a world that is affected by this darkness. When you look all around, you see all the negative things happening. You know that this world is dark. When you look at this, if you look at TV, you look at the stories on TVs, you look at the shows that they're putting on, they are all dark. I tell you right now, watch the cartoons your children are watching. They are dark. Our children are receiving a dark message. Amen? We are looking at shows that are giving us a dark message. When you walk out in this world, when he says be careful, it means pick up on what God is saying. Because when you're a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, God and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you all the time. So you got to be careful and sensitive to what God is saying to you. You cannot walk out there and not be sensitive to the word of God, to what God is saying to you. You cannot be insensitive to all the things that are going on around you. Because if Christ is in you, he is always there. There's not a moment that you set foot any place, anywhere, that God is not with you. He says, I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you go out, he is there with you. But we have to change our mindset to be aware, to understand, because the Bible tells me that the enemy lurks back and forth, looking to see who he can devour. He's constantly on patrol. If he's constantly on patrol, we must be constantly aware in our walk. Amen? The word careful is not a normal meaning also of careful, the way that we think about being careful. It is the word that they use over in Acts that is translated, be accurate, to be precise. Amen? So Paul is saying, first of all, don't go out and underestimate the power of darkness. It's out there and it's after you. It is out there and it's after you. If you have salvation, it's out there and it's after you. Do not underestimate the power of darkness in this world. Amen? When you came to Christ, you stopped chasing sin. Amen? You stopped chasing all of those things you were chasing before. But now you're being chased because sin is chasing after you. All of those things that you didn't want to, that you stopped doing, that you quote unquote used to enjoy, they still chasing after you. Those little demons are still running behind you. They're still waiting for you to be not so careful in your walk. When you go out, be accurate, be precise, be alert, be aware, be on guard. But also, don't ever miss out what you have in Jesus. Don't be so aware of what the enemy can do instead of realizing what the Christ in you can do. Don't give the enemy so much power. So many times we like to say, oh, well, the devil made me do this. No, Jesus can stop you from doing it. You have power over that. Don't ever miss out. Not only be accurate in what you're facing, be accurate with what you have in order to face the darkness that is out there. You gotta know both sides. You cannot be slanted only one way. You gotta know both sides. Because if you don't know both sides, you won't be able to handle it. Something's going to come after you and get to you. When I say you got to know both sides, you have to know that when I walk down a certain street, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that you were going somewhere because of the neighborhood you were in, that you had to know that you had to watch the front of you and then the back of you and to the left and to the right of you. As a Christian, you got to watch the back of you and the front of you and the left and the right of you, because the enemy will attack whichever place you're not watching, whatever place you're not covering, whatever place you think is okay. You see, that's how sin gets in, because you think it's okay. The Bible, Paul is saying here, when we look at these verses, we should look at them and be encouraged as to how to go out into this world. Don't get shut up in the house because you're scared of what's happening in the world. Amen? You know, some people, they don't do things because they're scared of what's going on outside. God didn't make that. You can't have an attitude of fear. You can't be intimidated by the devil. You got to know that you have power. Victory's already been won. You cannot be shut up in your house. You cannot stop professing the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Even as things are going on right now, you know, they don't want you to talk about God. They don't want you to talk about Jesus. They don't want you to pray nowhere. They don't want you to open your mouth. But you know what? You do what God tells you to do. Hallelujah. Because you know what? He has the final answer for you. Amen? Not the people that you're around right now. Those making these worldly decisions. Because I guarantee you that in the day, in their day, they're going to come to you. And they're going to ask you for prayer. And they're going to, and some are so prideful, they're not going to ask you for prayer like, can you pray for me? They just want to give you a tidbit. Well, you know, my in-law, this happened to them. They're laying in the hospital. They have cancer. And they're looking at you with these big, big sorrowful eyes, waiting for you to offer up prayer, waiting for you to do something, waiting for you to call on the God that they despised so long ago. Hallelujah. Paul Letty says in verse 15, first of all, we need to learn to apply what we know about the truth in our daily walk. But he puts it this way. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. What does that mean to be wise? To be wise means to fear God. You don't see that in the world today. You have a lot of smart individuals, a lot of very smart individuals. And those people are so smart, everybody says, oh, they're so wise. They're so smart. They can do all of these things. They can add 2 + 2. They're wise. But the Bible tells me fear of God makes us wise. Amen? In the Word of God, being wise, know how to take God's word and relate it to our practical things that are going on in the world today and in your personal life. To be wise indicates a person who fears God. To be wise is a person who is broken before God and has a reverence for the holiness of God. Now that's a wise person because the Bible tells me. Amen? You see, wisdom is really the ability to take this book right here. It is the ability to take this book and relate it to every problem that you face today. Because there's no problem that you face today that's not addressed in that book. I always say, I have a famous saying. I've been saying it for years. Whatever your problem is, it's in the book. But you think it's not, but you need to look a little closer because this is the same church. It's just in a different pew. It might not be exactly the same, but when you get to the root cause of it, you got to get to the root. You could pull out all the weeds that you want. You could cut them down. You can cut it till you don't see nothing on the ground. But unless you get that root, hallelujah, it's going to grow again. Hallelujah. Unless you get the root, it's going to grow again. In your situations in your life, what you call problems and situations and circumstances, unless you get to the root, it's going to grow again. Have you ever sat down with somebody and you're telling them this and you're telling them that, and they say, well, what's the root of the problem? Just stop all the other stuff. I don't want to hear that. What's the root of the problem? Unless you get to the root. And what is the root? The root of all of our problems is sin. No matter which way you slice it or dice it, the root of our problem is some form of sin. Amen? Maybe it's not your sin, but maybe somebody created a sin against you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not what you do, it's what's done to you. Hallelujah. Every single practical problem I have, I try to relate it to the Word of God to see if I can get wisdom from the Word to help me solve whatever it is that I'm going through. God is wisdom. It gives divine ability. People say all the time, the Word doesn't meet my problems. Have you heard that? I read the Bible, but it don't help me none. I don't get nothing from it. God doesn't understand what's going on right now in this century. I get into the Word of God, and it doesn't say a thing to me. Yeah. Oh, yes, it does. See, you can't read the Bible like you read in a regular novel. You can't read the Bible like you read in a regular book. Because there's so much in between the scriptures and even between words. Hallelujah. That has so much meaning that turn things around. And if you don't catch it, and if you don't understand it, and if you don't understand the context, it'd be just like reading nothing. I've been there. I've done that. I've read it, and I said, well, what is this? I don't understand this. But the more I read, the more I understand. And then the more I understand, it makes me want to read more. And when I get in situations where I need some divine help and divine wisdom, I need to get into the book to find the answer. Because the answer is in the book. Hallelujah. Don't you know you have an open book test and the answer's in the book? Have you ever, when you went to school and they said it's an open book test, didn't you love an open book test? You could just go in there because you know you're going to find the answer. Maybe you get 100. The answer's in the book. Look at Proverbs 9 and 10. I want you to see where wisdom comes from. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when you fear the Lord, it's just the beginning. You want a lot of wisdom, you start with the fear of the Lord. Amen? And until you surrender to God's truth, to who he is as Lord of your life and in your life, you're not going to get any wisdom whatsoever to take his word. See, not only do you have to read, but you have to surrender. And that's what I mean. I read the book, but I didn't surrender. That's how come I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything because my life was not surrendered to his word. I wasn't open to receive everything that was in there. Amen? So Paul is saying, number one, be careful how you walk. And then don't walk as unwise. Walk as wise. How do you get wise? By applying the word of God, by studying the word of God, by reading the word of God. And listen to what he says later. He says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I'm back in Proverbs, I'm sorry. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord starts your wisdom. But as you continue to fear the Lord and read his word, then you begin to get some understanding. Amen? Look at the two words that are used for the wise person who fears the Lord. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. The person who fears the Lord. Wisdom and understanding. How many times have something happened and you say, well, that person ain't that smart. Or that person wasn't wise to do what they did. Amen? They don't have no wisdom because they don't have no fear of the Lord. When you don't have no fear of the Lord, you do things that are not wise. Amen? And when you don't fear the Lord, you get no understanding of what the word is about. You don't get the wisdom. You don't get the understanding. You know, the other day I was listening to the radio, and they talked about a guy. I'm going to tell you how foolish the world is right now. This is what this man did. He turned himself in to get the reward for himself. He went to the sheriff's office and turned himself in to get the reward. No, he turned himself in so he can get the reward himself. The enemy will have you doing foolishness like that, and you won't even think it's foolishness. I mean, we don't do things that are so blatant, but we do blatant things. And people are doing blatant things right now, and they don't think it's unwise, and they don't think it's foolish. But the enemy will capture your mind. And that's why we ask the Lord to capture our imagination. Take hold of our imagination. Because, you know, when you're out there, you think of some real crazy things. Somebody say amen. All right now. I got to work. I'm working with a church this morning. Knows what I'm talking about. So when Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he is telling them and he is saying, listen, you already got enough knowledge. I taught you enough already. Now go and walk as wise men. Be surrendered to God who gave us the truth. Then let his truth, his wisdom be mixed in all of your decisions. You see, we got to let God's truth and his wisdom be mixed in all of our decisions. I'm still full of dumb decisions. I'm still full of them. But until I ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment for each and every decision I have to make, I'm going to make dumb mistakes. Amen? And you know why I would do that? Because I would do that because I'm not respecting him enough to say, God, I need your help to make this decision. There's no decision in your life that you make that's too big or too small for God to get his input into it. Amen? Because our life is all about choices. Amen? Our life, your life is about a choice. Amen? When you fear God, there is nothing else to fear. Let me tell you how that goes a little bit. When you fear God, there's nothing else to fear. When you fear the Creator, there's nothing else to fear. When the Creator understands that you fear him, he loves you, you submitted yourself to him, there's ain't nobody, ain't no thing can come against you because he's watching over you. So when you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. So when you fear God and the enemy comes upon you, when the serpent, the adversary, the snake, the serpent, with all the little demons come around you, when you fear God, you don't have to fear anything. But when you don't fear God, you're going to fear everything that the enemy throws your way. You're not going to have a backbone to come up against him. Hallelujah. You see, that's why you praise the Lord, you serve the Lord, not because what he does for you, but because of who he is. You can't even count the number of things he's doing for you, even right now. Do you know how specific your body functions are right now? How perfect everything is right now? How wonderfully made you are right now, that God made you that way. When you recognize those things, which are big things, when you recognize that God is working in your behalf right now. And if you don't think it's big, hurt yourself. See what happened. God loves you and his love is perfect. He has no ordinary love. I love that. He has no ordinary love. He has no ordinary love. Sometimes we got to make it plain. We could say all of these agapes and this and that, but it's not ordinary the way that God loves you. Because he loves you in spite of you. He loves me in spite of me. He loves everyone in spite of everyone. He loves you. It is no ordinary love. We are to live a life of surrender, respecting his holiness, understanding that he has claim over your life. You know, we sing, you know, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself. I give myself to you. Well, I'm starting to think that some people, when they get to that part, I give myself, they stop singing. I give myself, they stop. Because they don't fully surrender. Hallelujah. And you have to surrender. God knows when you fully surrender to him. Amen. You can't fool God. You can't fool God. When somebody has a claim on you, somebody has a claim on you, either one or the other. Don't you know that? You ain't walking around claimless. You're not walking around claimless. Somebody has a claim on your life. It's either God or Satan. But you're not walking around claimless. You're not your own. Somebody put a claim on you and somebody's owning you. Somebody's owning your thoughts. Somebody's owning your behavior. Somebody's owning you in every facet of your life. Somebody's owning your decisions. Who's owning your decisions? Whoever is owning your decisions is affecting your walk. Because either you're surrendering yourself to God or you're surrendering yourself to Satan. And with God, 99 and a half ain't going to do. Hallelujah. You wonder why somebody else is getting blessed. Your 90% ain't good enough. You wonder why somebody else is moving around and getting blessed with whatever it is that God is blessing them with. And you talking about, what about me? What about you? What are you doing? In Colossians, Paul is writing to the city of Colossus. And it's the same message that he gives, where Paul is saying the same thing he is praying in Colossus. He's saying, for this reason also, since the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Don't you want to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding? You are a human physical being having a, you're really a spiritual being. You're really, really a spirit having a human experience right now. And everything that is really about you is not on the outside, but it's on the inside. There used to be a song years ago that they used to sing, not on the outside, but inside strong. I don't want you to have God on the outside. I want you to have God on the inside strong. Hallelujah. So many people are walking around on the outside. We being fooled by people with this stuff on the outside. Somebody can sing, or somebody can pray, and somebody can preach. I used to know a fella. He could preach, the walls would be coming down. Be coming down. But he had to have a pint before he started preaching. And I was a little guy, and I knew this. He had to have a whole pint to drink before he could start preaching. He was filled with the Ghost, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. We got to be careful. The Bible tells us to test every spirit. Amen. We don't need to have the truth just in our heads, because a lot of people got a lot of stuff in our heads. We got the truth in our heads. We can quote scripture. Somebody can quote scripture. They can tell you this and tell you that. But how's their walk? How's the life they leading? Amen. Only when we obey the truth, only when we do what God has told us to do, that makes us wise. He gives us the ability to relate all the things that we go through into a practical aspect of our lives. Amen? He compares, Paul compares the unwise to the wise. He says, now, don't be unwise. He says, to be unwise, it simply does not mean he is not a believer, because there's believers that are unwise. You see, every time you read something, this is where scripture and understanding what is being written is important. Because he's saying, be wise, and then he says, don't be like the unwise. And then he says, well, the fear of the Lord makes a person, is the beginning of wisdom, right? That's in Proverbs. And we say, okay, so we fear the Lord, and it's the beginning of wisdom. So I got it. Mm-mm. Don't you know that there's people that have a relationship with the Lord that are unwise? Amen? So every time somebody's unwise, it doesn't mean that that person doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. There's a lot of believers who don't have this wisdom because they are not bowed down to Christ. Did you get that? I'm going to say that again. They're unwise because they really have not surrendered to Christ. And then when they get in situations and you wonder why that situation happens over and over and over again, have they really surrendered to Christ? Have they really, not just in words, but have they really surrendered spiritually, totally to Christ? Amen? You see, when Christ surrendered his life for us, he didn't just go halfway. He went all the way. And because he went all the way, we must go all the way. Amen? He didn't get on that cross and then he got a couple of pains and said, okay, this is over. I had enough. They should understand. They should know by now that I love them. Take me down. He went all the way. What God required of his son, God requires of us. Amen. What God required of his son in human form, of God in human form, what he required of him, he requires of you. Amen. Everybody that is a believer don't love God's word. They don't love him. You know why I know that? Because sometimes you can preach a word and you can tell the word, you can say the word, and it's nothing but the word. It ain't your word, it ain't my word, it's God's word. And people have they find fault with you. I've known of, sometimes I got to go back to some of my younger days, but I've known of people, this one woman that used to call my father every Sunday after church. Every Sunday, and keep him on the phone for hours because she didn't like what he said. But when he said what he said was the word. But every Sunday, you're going to call because you didn't like what he said? But he preached the word. So when you tell somebody the word and you tell them the truth, everybody's not going to love you. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to care for you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to call you. They're going to harass you. They're going to bother you. They're going to make it a living hell for you. But don't you be moved. You say the word, you pray the word, you preach the word, you anoint the word, you speak the word, you... The enemy want to shut you down, but don't you let them shut you up. Hallelujah. I just want to move on because the scripture says, furthermore, it says, make the most of your time. Ain't those two powerful scriptures? Listen, make the most of your time. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Make the most of your time. Look, the word for time means a season, an opportunity. You're here for a season, and you're here with an opportunity. Now, we all know something about the season, right? A season comes in, but we know that a season does something else. A season leaves. Amen? A season go away. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. Amen? This is your season. Come on, somebody. This is your season. There's going to be a summertime in your season. There's going to be a springtime in your season. But there's going to be a fall. There's going to be a winter. But right now, God has given you a summertime. This is your season. You got to make the most of your time right now. Hallelujah. Your season started when you received Christ. Amen? And it's going to end when you die or he comes for you. Amen? You only got one season. You only got this one life to make an impact. Hallelujah. This is your time. This is your season. This is your time to make your mark. This is a time, a season when the choices that you make, hallelujah, the choices that you make are going to affect you. The choices that you make, wise decision, unwise decision, the choices that you make, they're going to be applied to your season. Hallelujah. What you do is being applied to your season right now. Amen. Paul is telling the Ephesians, it's time for you to wake up and get going because you don't have that much time. Church, I'm telling you this morning, wake up and get busy. You don't have that much time. It's time for you to walk wisely. You don't have that much time. It's time for you to look at how you walk because you don't have that much time. And how much time do you have? The Bible tells me that no one knows. No one knows. You wake up every morning, it's another day in your season. You go through another month, it's another month in your season. You go through another year, it's another year in your season. But you don't know how many seasons you got. You don't know how many years you got. You don't know how many months, days, hours, minutes, seconds that you got. Hallelujah. Making the most of the time means to redeem the time. It's time that to redeem the time means to purchase it. Amen? That's the one thing that we have in common, that each and every one of us have the same amount of time. I got the same time you got. God didn't give me 26 hours in my day and gave you 13. He gave me 24 hours in my day. He gave you 24 hours in your day. But redeem the time. That means you have to purchase it. How do you purchase it? You don't have the collateral to purchase it from God. Your money's no good here. You ever go someplace and somebody say, your money's no good here? Your money's no good with God. Hallelujah. How do you get time? How do you purchase time? It's the choices that you make. And not only this time that you're spending right here, right now, it is the time that you spend in eternity. Hallelujah. It's the choices that you make. And our lives are filled with one choice after another in the morning. It's like, what am I going to wear this morning? That's a choice. Whatever you're thinking about all day long, it's a choice. What you're going to have to do when you get home, that's a choice. What you're going to eat for dinner, that's a choice. What are your choices motivated by? It's a choice. But the word of God motivates us by our respect from God. And he should be able to give us the choices, that the priority of the choices that we make. Amen? Sometimes we make choices we don't even need to be making those choices, the things that we choose. Hallelujah. I don't mean to get on people's cases right now, but sometimes we know that we ain't supposed to have eat cake, and we eat cake. I heard that. We know we're not supposed to have ice cream because we're lactose intolerant. But you can't wait to have that butter pecan and chocolate. Then everybody around you paying for it. Choices that we make. Walking around talking about, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let that roll around a little bit. Marinate a little bit. The choices that we make. We have to realize that our time is short. We only have one season. We're only going to go around this one time. Make those choices. Why? Because every time you choose, you're going to do something with that choice. Amen? There are choices that we should make based on the word of God. And your willingness to do it predicates what he does with you. And it predicates what he tells you what to do. Every time we turn around, we're making choices moment by moment by moment by moment. Listen, there's nobody in here right now that is making this choice. I pray. But people are making choices right now to commit suicide. People are making choices right now to commit adultery. People are making choices right now to take a drug, to take a drink. People are making choices right now. People are making choices right now to harm children. Right now. People are making choices, and their choices are not just affecting them, but they're affecting other people. They're affecting the lives of other people. And sometimes the choices that they make that affect you will cause you to want to lose what you have in Christ. That's why sometimes when things happen, you got to get in the Word, because somebody will do something and you want to kill them. You do. It's an emotion. And the only thing that can stop you, God will intervene, and you have to read the Word to get some peace and some comfort. Because you will have a choice. I remember Brother Mike saying he had ran into somebody that did something, and when he met him, he had a choice. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody need to give the Lord a hand right now. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you wanted to do something, but you had a choice, and God gave you some wisdom and discernment, or he blocked. God will stop something from happening. He loves you so much, but you got a choice to either pay attention to what God is telling you or go ahead and do what you're going to do anyway. God is a God of choice. There's less respect for life today than ever before. And I want to put this out there, that this was in my notes before I heard anything this morning. This is so true, that there is less respect for life than ever before. And even less respect for the truth. Even less respect for the truth. If they don't care about life, they don't care about the truth. Amen? People are in the prisons of their mind, but the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. So many people are in their minds, they have all of these things going on. But the Word of God, the Word of God, the truth of life will set you free. You don't have to be walking around with all these burdens, all of these things going around and around in your head. God is not the author of confusion. The enemy, Satan, is the author of confusion. And the more confused you are, the more you don't even know what to do. You can't even make your own choices. You can't even make a rational choice. You'll be fueled by emotion. And emotion can get you to do some irrational things. Amen? I want you to know this morning that time is precious because we have so much business to do on our hands. Amen? Both physical and spiritual. We have a lot to do. Time is precious because it is short and uncertain. Say amen. Our work must be done soon or it's not going to get done at all. Amen? When you procrastinate, how many times have you procrastinated over something and it never got done? Somebody say amen. I'm talking to a church today that know what I'm talking about. You procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate, and then time goes by and it's never done. You ready to move out of that apartment. You ready to move out of the house. You ready to go on bigger and better things. And all of a sudden, you pulling things out of the closet that you didn't even know you put it in there. It was still there. There's things that we got to do for Christ. If you don't start moving on, it's going to be back in the background of what it is that you got to do. And then the day is going to come for your departure. You're going to be saying, but I got to do this. And the Lord is not going to hear that. Because the Bible tells me to work while it is still day. Because the night cometh when no man can work. Amen? Time is precious because part of it is already gone. Listen. I'm not going to confess this, but speaking wise, I probably see more behind me than I'm going to see in front of me. But I'm not doubting God now. He can do all things. I mean, if he allows me to double the age that I am right now, thank you, God. But I say I probably have seen more behind me than I see in front of me. Amen. So time is precious for me because there's a big part that's already gone. But I tell you what, whatever's left, I'm going to value it. Amen. I got no time to waste. If you ever be around me and I'm getting ready to do something, I'll give you an opportunity to come along with me. But after a while, I'm leaving you because I got to go. I ain't got no time for this foolishness. I got to go. I'm ready. I gotta go. Are you ready this morning? You gotta be ready. You gotta be ready. Time is going. Time is precious. Don't waste time thinking about all that bad stuff you did in the past. When you become to Christ, all of that stuff is washed away. Don't worry about what they call you. Don't worry about what you did. Christ wiped that slate clean. If they don't, that's on them. But you keep moving forward. Hallelujah. You need to guard your time against things that rob you of time. Don't sit around talking to people with all of this foolishness. Things that's going to rob you. Sidetrack you from what it is that you are going to do. I tell you, sometimes you're getting ready to pray. Don't that phone ring. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Give the Lord a hand right now. I got a church that understand what I'm talking about right now. Soon as you get ready to pray, bring, 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 and somebody want to talk about what was on TV last night. You get ready to call on your God because you need help today. Something going on in your life. You need to talk to the Lord today. You don't care what happened on The Real Housewives or wherever. They want to talk about Dancing with the Stars. You want to be dancing with Jesus. Hallelujah. It is no coincidence. It's the enemy at work. Recognize it. Ignore that call. Saying, I'd love to talk to you, but I got to go. I got to go. Well, maybe you want to pray to me, with me. You watch that phone hang up. Call on the name of Jesus. You watch that phone hang up. The devil can't stand the name of Jesus. If they don't want to listen to you, just start saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That phone is going to hang up. Start speaking in tongues. Woo! That phone is gone. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us that the word of God don't just informs us, but it transforms us. Hallelujah. It changes lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to take advantage of the opportunities that God has given you. Don't start next week. Don't start tomorrow. Start right now. He's a right now God. If you want God to take care of your infirmities right now, you'd start doing God's work right now. Watch things change. Watch things work in your behalf. Watch the blessings of the Lord start coming down. He's a right now God. Hallelujah. This is your season. Don't you understand this? How you walk, this is your season. Somebody say, this is my season. This is my season. This is my claiming right now. This is your season for grace, for mercy. No matter what's going on, this is your season. Hallelujah. Walk it, claim it, be anointed in it. Call on the name of Jesus. Rebuke the enemy. Hallelujah. Call on the name of Jesus. Take advantage of all opportunities he's given you. Watch God work. Don't you know you have the victory already? You got everything that's necessary. I'm like Paul telling you this morning, you have the knowledge. If you don't, it's in the book. Oh, it's in the book. Hallelujah. You have wisdom. If you don't, it's in the book. It's in the book. You got the victory. Because God has already told you in the book that you got victory. He says, I conquered death. I conquered everything. Death couldn't hold them down. We sing the song. Death could not hold him down. If death can't hold Christ down, it can't hold you down. Because he's given you all power that he had when he was here. And even greater things you can do. But you don't believe that. But when you change, you start to change your walk. And you start believing and using wisdom. Oh my God. Watch how things change all around you. Watch how you change. Because you change, things around you will change. Come on, I'm telling you right now. When you change, things around you will change. But you got to change. When you change, things around you will change. And even physically, if it don't change, your perspective on them will change. Oh, hallelujah. I said your perspective on it will change. Because no matter what it is, it ain't that big a deal. I don't have no money, it ain't no big a deal. Because my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in heaven. I ain't got no food. Well, the Bible says that Jesus says the birds of the air, they fly around. They don't worry about what they're going to eat. The children of Israel, they were walking around crying. We ain't got nothing to eat. God sent manna from heaven. God is going to get your manna. He's going to send you your manna. He's going to send you what you need. Sometimes we won't get the steak, but you better eat that frankfurter he gave you. Knowing that steak is going to come. And now the ribeye, filet mignon. Whew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But take advantage of every opportunity. Those people that you work for, you bless them. And you bless them because God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Those people that work for you, you bless them because God is going to bless you. See, that's part of your walk. That no matter how much a pain in the butt your boss is, you bless him because God is going to bless you. No matter how hard these people that work for you don't want to work, you bless them. Because there's going to come a day that God is going to bless you and not them. And they're going to wonder why. But the God that you serve, the God, he gives you blessings upon blessings and blessings and blessings. You can't keep it all to yourself. So you got to give it away so you can make room for more. You got to open your hand to give so you can get. But if your hand is always closed, you ain't giving and you can't receive. We have the victory. We have the victory. We're not walking towards victory. Come on, somebody. I want to know, are you walking towards victory? Are you walking towards victory? I'm not walking towards victory. I got the victory. Somebody say, I got it already. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got the victory. It's already in my possession. It is part of my DNA. I might not see it, but I know it's there. It's right there. I got it. I got this. I got this because God's got me. If he's got you, you got it. If you're a child of the Most High, you got it. You didn't deserve it, but you got it. You can't earn it, but you got it. I'm walking in sunshine. I'm walking in the light. I'm not going around in circles no more. Hallelujah. I'm not like the children of Israel no more. I did my 40 years. Oh, hallelujah. I did. I did my 40 years. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I did my 40 years. I did my time walking in circles. I did it. But I can say now, Lord, don't move that mountain. Give me the strength. Oh, hallelujah. Give me the strength to climb it. I got the victory. I'm climbing the mountain. I got the victory. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody bless the Lord this morning. Give him a hand. Praise. Somebody call on the name of the Lord this morning.